Now get up, now get up out of bed. Wash your face, brush your teeth, comb your sleepy head. Here's your clothes.
Thanks so much for joining us here at Because I Said So. We're talking about parenting. I mean, that's what this show is about. Our reality as parents, and then, you know, we're mixing a little reality TV. If you have an opinion about Honey Boo Boo Child, you might want to listen to this show. You're listening to Because I Said So, and we're kind of missing one of our hosts here today. Kim's not joining us today, but we do have Kathy and Jackie and myself, Jenny. We're just talking about our wonderful, great experiences as parents. I have two boys. Nicholas is 6 and Stephen is 9. So I pick him up from school yesterday. Great news all around. Stephen made the spelling bee. Nicholas went up a reading level in reading. And so it was a great day. And then we get home and they did their homework and we got in their stocking. They got like the Mentos experiment, the geyser. You stick it in a 2 liter of soda. Mm-hmm. So we decided to do that for fun. Well, it takes all of 2.5 seconds.
Right. Is there a science lesson in this?
There is.
Oh, there is.
Oh, I didn't really. Yeah.
You didn't
forget about
that
part. They just wanted to see the soda explode, which happened. And as it's exploding, Steven's running into the fountain of soda, getting drenched in ginger ale. And I just kind of stood there and looked at him. I was like, son, for a very smart child, that's not so smart. Like, I just don't get why you would run into the soda.
Because he's nine. Exactly.
But it's sticky and messy, and then he can't walk in the house, and he's gross. I mean, I guess maybe I'm just the cleanliness
factor.
See,
and I think that would be really fun. And I lament that my nine-year-old would never even consider it. Because,
really?
Yeah, because he's, you know.
I could totally see Annie try to drink it. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, my daughter would do it, but my son wouldn't do it.
Oh, Nicholas was drinking it then after it exploded.
I mean, like, as it's shooting up, I could see her, like, try to put her face on it and try to...
Yeah. I wish my son had a little more free spirit in
him. Have you ever tried to push him in that direction? Like, go ahead, Ben,
No, but
it.
I can tell you, last week, I had some meeting in the afternoon, and my husband was home but was sick, so he was asleep, and Ben was at a neighbor's house, and I said, well, when you get home... You know, dad's upstairs asleep, so just, you know, play, do whatever. And so my meeting ended up going really, really long, and I didn't get home until about 7:30. And Ben is sitting there, and he's like, Mommy, I'm so hungry. And I said, well, why didn't you get a snack? And he goes, because I didn't know if I was allowed. So this is my rule-following child. Like, he will rather starve than eat a granola bar without asking. So...
Oh,
yeah, that's the
case.
Way other extreme.
That's insane.
Of
I mean, that's really great. Shocking to me.
But it has been, I mean, since birth, I could put him in timeout and go back 3 days later and he would still be sitting there. Seriously.
Well, obviously you've done the discipline part right. Obviously you've done that right, but maybe you've gone over the top.
I don't discipline him. I don't have to.
But that's the thing. It's who he is.
It's
not
who he is.
Necessarily how
right.
Jackie.
He is his father's child, for sure. Yeah, they're rule followers.
Really?
Yep, absolutely.
That is fascinating.
And then there's my daughter. So,
yeah.
You know.
You can have two completely opposite
different
children.
Kids.
Definitely.
Yeah. And yours are opposite. And yours are opposite, right?
Kind of, yeah. Going, you know, the one story I have about my daughter, you when you think they're smart and then you realize, you know, they do something, you're like, really? Was she came to my son's football game this year. It was like, literally, it was like a 40-degree night. It was like a Friday night, and her father picked her up, and so she had dressed herself and she was ready to go to the football game. She wore flip-flops on a 40-degree night because she's 12, because her sneakers didn't look good with her jeans and her Uggs didn't look good with her jeans, but the flip-flops was what she went with.
Uggs look good with
and so
all
by
jeans.
The time I got there and I caught up with her, I mean, I got to tell you, I thought we were going to have to amputate her feet. I just, how that brain processed that and concluded that the flip-flops were the right choice really made me wonder what I'm doing as a parent, I got to tell you.
That's interesting because I fight my daughter every day, wear a coat to school, wear a coat to school, it's going to be cold, wear a coat to school. I finally stopped. I'm like, if she's cold enough, she'll wear a coat to school. So then, of course, the note comes home that says... Please make sure your child is dressed appropriately.
Oh, because then
for school.
She can't go out at recess.
Right. And so I just wrote back and I said, look, I give up. Her choice. Send her outside. I don't care if she's cold.
But see, do they have liability for that?
Whatever.
Or something?
I will take responsibility if my child is cold. But at this point, she needs to make that decision.
Can you imagine what teachers must say about parents?
We actually had a moment, though, this morning. Nicholas is the one who fights me. He'll put a hat on his head, and if he has a sweatshirt on, he doesn't need a coat. And I'm actually, I was always the type of person, I don't like big, bulky coats, so I never really wore one either. But so this morning, I gave in. I was like, okay, you know, as long as you have a hat on your head. And then he goes to get out of the car when we got to school, and he's like, I think I'm going to put my coat on. He was cold. He decided to put his coat on. And I said, okay, put your coat on.
Well, it's a little bit like, you know, you could tell them not to touch the hot stove, but until they actually touch it and feel it and realize, ow, that hurts, then they're not going to touch the stove. So, I mean, I get your point on that lesson. And I think that sometimes we have to let our kids fall down in order to realize that was a stupid thing to do. Hopefully, my daughter learned that wearing flip-flops to a football game on a Friday night in October is not the right choice.
But she won't do it again.
But was she
cold? I don't know.
Were her feet cold? I mean, was she complaining?
She would not have admitted it.
Okay.
Because she knew as soon as I looked at her feet, when I saw her, when I got there and caught up with her, I mean, there was evil coming out of me. I could not believe that. Two things. I could not believe that that was her choice, and I could not believe that her father let her come to the football game like that.
Yeah.
That's, to me, and now we know how that process actually works. She is her father's child.
No, I think, that's the thing. We have some pretty, you know, intelligent kids, but they're kids. They are. You're right. I mean, Stephen running into the soda, it was fun. He wasn't thinking about being messy then afterwards. And then he didn't fight me. I said, go in and get in the tub right now. Like, you're going to be sticky, so you need to go get a shower right now. Okay. I was like, yeah, awesome. We'll have to do that again so you don't fight me on taking a shower.
Yeah, and I don't know how you change that, and I don't think you want to rein in that kind of free spirit.
No, don't kill
spirit. I mean, right, exactly, exactly. That's, or you could send some my way, and maybe I could inject you into Ben.
Well, let's try the Mentos experiment, Jackie. Let's do it at your house.
Oh, my daughter will run through it.
See what he does.
Yeah, he would take notes.
Yeah,
and then he would want to know
why. He would want to know why the Mento is making the whatever.
Right. Is it explode?
Yeah, the science part of it probably.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah,
I would be like, I would love that. You know, to have the child who wanted to learn the why, not just let's blow things up and you know.
That's funny because one of my son's friends, I swear he's going to be a reporter because that's all he does is ask why. Mm-hmm. You know, he's older now and still he has such an inquisitive spirit and inquisitive nature to him. And I think that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really great thing. But I imagine after a while you're like, just because I said so.
I said so. Exactly.
I don't have time to look it up on Google.
No.
But thank goodness for Google because really I do that a lot. Go look it up.
Yep.
Go look it up.
All the time when my children ask me questions that I don't know the answers to, I say, well, we should look it up online, and we do. Because I don't have all the answers. I admit it.
Clearly, none of us has all the answers.
No, but I am proud of my boys. You know, this whole spelling bee, it's tomorrow. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was testing him on some of the words, and there were some that he struggled with, and I was like, Stephen, you have to study these. But then I realized he's in third grade. I'm like, does he know how to study?
Hello, mine's in 11th, and he doesn't know how to study.
That's it was a moment of, well, he's never really had to, you know, so far school's come pretty easy to him, so he's never had to study.
Right.
Even on his regular spelling tests or, you know, math. So this is something that's a little more challenging, and I explained to him kind of what to do to study the words. But I didn't realize it until I said it, and then I was like, yeah, you probably don't know how to study yet. Yeah. So
and helping them, it's important.
You'll have to let me know. We have the spelling bee coming up next week, but we had the geography bee last week, and I was really impressed with some of these kids.
Yeah.
Yes, they had a really good time. And some of the questions, I mean, I couldn't answer.
Oh, heck no.
Tons.
I would be the first kid out.
Of them. But yeah, so, you know, I would encourage schools to look into the geography bee because it was really fun.
I love those things. I was actually a really good speller. And I remember every week, I don't know if I've told this story before, but every week in my fourth grade class, the teacher would have a little spelling bee. And then whoever won it, she would draw their picture up on the front board, like a whole life, whatever. My picture was on that board more often than anybody else's. I'll
awesome.
Have you know. So it was
cool teacher.
I enjoyed it, but I've always been a really good speller, and I'm kind of critical of people who can't spell very well. I have to say.
Wow, I'll have to watch that out on Facebook. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back talking about our parenting experiences and our wonderful, intelligent, beautiful children.
No better.
Hi, this is Robin. Join me every Saturday night at 8 p.m. for Saturday Nights with Robin, where I'll play music from different genres like folk, blues, deep tracks, new music, and more. So come hang out with me, Robin, every Saturday night at 8 p.m. only on 90.7 WSDL.
Thanks for joining us here at Because I Said So. And, you know, we are just having fun in the studio. We just talked about how great our kids were. So now we're moving on to Honey Boo Boo Child, which I kind of got excited that we were going to talk about this. You know, I'm just reading offline. Honey Boo Boo has touched the hearts and lives of millions.
Please.
With her boisterous attitude, pet piglet, and outrageous family.
That's some good PR.
She's
right
the redneck beauty queen, self-proclaimed redneck beauty queen. Come on.
Okay, somebody give me some background here. So, Chris, you said this was a spinoff from Toddlers and Tiaras?
Yeah, which is a creepy enough show in itself.
All right,
because,
I mean, I know a little bit of it, but I've never seen it.
The family is so bizarre, they decided that that would be worthy of their own reality show. And unfortunately, this is how reality shows have spun off from themselves. Instead of providing us interesting, educational, you know, this, we should say this show is on the Learning Channel. I'm not sure what we're learning from it other than
bizarre
people in this country. But so our reality shows now are watching these crazy people live their lives, and I don't understand how we've come this far.
It's a freak
show.
Most
reality shows are not reality, so
they're scripted.
Is this reality?
Oh,
who
gosh,
knows?
Yeah, I think
really?
It is, yeah.
Well, obviously parts of it are. I mean, you know, you are who you are, and the way you speak and the way how you dress and where you live and all of that is real.
But the video, like, that I found really, really gross, someone said, you have to see it, it's disgusting, of the bugs crawling out of Honey Boo Boo's mom's toe, that's got to be reality.
So why apparently would someone... she has some sort of a problem with her foot. And
like a fungus, maybe?
Her kids, if we're talking about the same one, her kids had never seen it. She keeps a sock on her foot at all times.
Yeah.
And so she unveiled her sock to her kids,
Who
and
can
it
make
was...
this up, though?
I don't know why you would make this up. This is the part that is perplexing to me. And I know that people do all kinds of crazy things for money in this country. But why you would, except for the fact that maybe you don't know any better.
I was going to say, you don't know the difference.
Why you would put your business out there like that. Now, here we are on a radio show talking about our own families. So maybe there's a bit of hypocrisy.
Are we making any money? No, honey.
Well, that's a good point. We're not making money off it. We're just humiliating ourselves. However, I don't know why the people who make the decision of what is entertaining gets put on the air.
Because people watch it.
But the difference is we choose what we're going to talk about. And if something's embarrassing, we'll say, like, we're not going to talk about this.
Well, except that that brings up an interesting point. Where's the line? I mean, if, you know, if Kathy can talk about, you know, we've talked about underwear and we've talked about 50 Shades of Grey. Like, so where's the line?
I guess it's we all have our own sense of decency and our own sense of shame. And so some people's lines are a lot different than others.
You're right.
And I guess that's really what it is. So we're sitting here being judgmental about a family because their sense of decency is different than ours. And maybe that's not fair, right? Maybe that's not fair.
Okay. Then I won't say anything else the rest of the segment. Because when I look at it as, you know, her, Honey Boo Boo, now being part of the promotion of the Learning Channel where she's like swinging on the bell and
she's a huge part of, obviously, the ratings giant of that network.
It just boggled my mind.
It's kind of exploitative. Exploitative.
That was always my question about the show Hoarders, if you've ever seen it. I've never seen Honey Boo Boos, but I have seen Hoarders. And I think, you know, clearly this is, there's a mental illness going on here. I mean, there has to be.
But I can see a bit of an educational component to that.
Right, but my question is, how can you give consent for your child, your minor, to be on TV if clearly you don't have the wherewithal to give consent? Like, that's my concern about the exploitation of kids in some of these shows. Like, if you're an adult and you want to be on TV, knock yourself out. Mm-hmm. But really?
But their parents, of course they have right to say what their kids can and cannot do.
But not if you can't make decisions about throwing out cottage cheese that's been in your refrigerator for 4 years. You know what I mean?
Yes. But
I mean, I think we're getting a little exploitive here.
Oh, we're totally getting exploitive. And this is shocking to you? You have a TV background. You understand how Sweeps Week works.
Except that there were rules when I was on TV. Apparently, there aren't any rules anymore.
There were rules about what you could...
Absolutely. We could not interview children at school at all without any kind of show them on TV, without any kind of parent permission.
Well, we just, we did an event, you know, with DZS, with Just Zoo It, and there was a TV camera there, got video of all the kids in the classroom yesterday, and then, remember, we the principal came out and said, it's okay. Like, all the kids have permission. It's okay.
They've all signed a media release slip that they're allowed to be filmed or whatever. So.
But that's a good point. I'm a parent. I signed the saying, yeah, they could be on TV. What about Facebook? We, you know, I work with a nonprofit, Horizons, that has, you know, it's all students from kindergarten to ninth grade. Just because the parents said they could be on TV doesn't maybe mean that they would allow us to post their pictures all over Facebook.
Right, and that's even for a good cause. But now you all the, all, you know, on the other end of the spectrum, what's Honey Boo Boo going to be when she grows up? I mean,
well, if she's going to be a lot like her mother, I think, and... you know, and I shouldn't be that disparaging because I don't know these people. And you only get to see what they show you, and that's obviously not always fair.
Yeah, there's hours and hours and hours of Honey Boo Boo probably doing boring stuff that they can't use for TV, and they just have to find the freaky stuff that she does. And, oh, okay, that's weird enough. Let's put that on.
Well, and I think that's every reality show, right? I mean, it's so out of context.
Yeah, they're so reality shows I just find so unrealistic.
Well, have you guys seen the one, what's the one with the Louisiana brothers, the, oh my goodness, what is that one called?
The Duck People?
The Duck, yeah, Duck, oh my
Dynasty
gosh.
Or whatever.
Duck Dynasty. Holy cow. I guess part of reality television is to show us there's just a whole slice of life out there that we know nothing about, that I know nothing about. That, you know, I would probably never encounter these gentlemen in my life. Maybe I would, I don't know. But I see people on Facebook ranting and raving about how much they love this show, and so I did sit down and watch it, and it is entertaining, but it's insanity. It's just so different than anything I'm familiar with or used to. And so I guess there's an entertainment factor to that. There is.
And that's like Swamp People. My family really got into Swamp People. You know, they're catching
alligators. But I saw that one as well.
That's their livelihood. That's what they do for a living.
But that is interesting.
They go out in a boat with a rifle and a rope, and they catch alligators.
And what do they sell them for? For the meat or for the skins?
The skin, the meat, everything. They took a designer on the boat with them the one time. He was from Italy or somewhere that makes belts and purses. and the guys who are the Swamp People were like, oh, yeah, this guy's coming on, you know, our trip with us today, like joking, laughing, like he's, you know, he's a joke. And then they learned what he goes and does with the skin from these, you know, alligators and makes a boatload of money
off of them. Yeah.
You know, my problem with reality shows is it used to be that we did stuff. You know, you made model airplanes or you baked cakes or you had like a hobby. And now we watch other people do stuff. Like you watch the cake guy. What's he do? He makes cakes.
Rather than making cakes.
Yeah, you're watching a guy sit around making cakes. It's weird.
Well, except that people, well, I don't know. I mean, I watch the Food Network like all the time, but I cook.
Yeah, but they're in theory teaching you how to do stuff.
Right, exactly.
You know, like you try this method or try
this. I think that kind of reality, I mean, that's
a whole
fine.
Different kind
of reality.
That's
like
totally different.
You know, the guys who go around finding the American Pickers guys. I'm watching people do their jobs. It's weird.
I love that show, by the way.
Yeah, it's a great
Although
show.
Although that does give you some practical advice on what things may be
auction
worth.
Auction Kings and,
Storage Wars, which apparently is fake.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, apparently.
I did see something about that.
What
so
do you
what
mean?
Part about it's fake? The whole, like, they already know what's in, like, none of it's real?
I don't know. Apparently it's not real. Mm. And then there's something on HGTV that I used to watch that I really liked that is fake also. So I even reality, like,
what, even
like
reality
shows
is not reality.
Aren't reality shows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
this is a reality show, however, and it's real.
Yeah.
We're not making this up.
We don't lie about how wonderful of parents we are. We actually,
well, sometimes we may blur the lines a little. We don't tell you.
I don't really actually, you know, to bring it back to parenting, I don't really think that I'm, you know, my kids are young now, so they don't really watch reality TV. But no, I don't really think that they need to get into that because there's other stuff on TV that's, you know, the History Channel, things
but
that.
But come on, it's the Learning Channel. If those my kids are going to watch a show, the Learning Channel would seem to me a decent place to watch it. My daughter does watch Toddlers and Tiaras and Dance Moms and some of that stuff.
Does she think it's ridiculous?
She finds it hysterically funny. I mean, I think she, I hope that she understands the difference between, you know, good parenting and bad parenting and good behavior and bad behavior. You know, Dance Moms, things like that. Those women are crazy. They are crazy. They're at each other's throats over, you know, their daughter's, you know, solo recital. So I think she finds the entertainment value in that. We do talk about it from time to time because it bothers me. And occasionally I'll just be like, we're turning it off. I can't stand it anymore. I'll be coming through the room like, you're not watching this. We're watching something else. Or we're doing something. That would be a concept. Like, we'll start a hobby, Chris.
Hey,
we're going to start baking
cakes. Let's do something together. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and continue Because I Said So. It's our favorite time of the show, and hopefully yours too, where we share our Mother of the Month stories, you know, things we kind of experience as parents, and maybe we're not too proud, but they happen, and then we learn from them and move on.
start with you.
Really? Mine happened today. I got a phone call from Stephen's school, and it was the nurse, and she said, I was worried he was sick. She's like, Jenny, Stephen's saying they're doing a project in class that has to do with peanut butter, and he's saying he can't be anywhere in the room or near peanut butter. And she's like, I don't have on record that he's allergic. I said, he's not. She's like, oh, good. I didn't want to miss that. I said, he's lying because he can be near peanut butter. It just grosses him out. So he doesn't want to have to touch it because he might gag and puke. Because this has happened before with finger paint. It's happened with yogurt, jelly.
All right, that could be legitimate.
Goopy things.
Yeah.
Yes. But I said to her, I was like, no, he lied. He's going to have to suck it up and do the project in school with peanut butter. And he is. I mean, I guess you can use things like that as an excuse for only so long. And then it just gets to the point where it's like, sorry, buddy. Embrace it.
So what if he throws up?
He throws up. I won't pick him up from school. He's not sick.
That's
he did
funny.
That at camp one time.
Really?
He saw a kid eating a yogurt, and it was, like, gooping out of his mouth, and he started dry heaving into the trash can. So the counselors thought he was sick. They called me. I went and picked him up. He wasn't sick. He was just grossed out. And I was like, I left work to come get you. You're not sick. He's like, yeah. I said, it's not going to happen again. No, because I just need to help him get over this goopy fear.
Well, you should have a rule. Like, you could admit you've got a problem. Like, I'm forgetful, but then you've got to come up with your own solution for it. Like, okay, I forget things a lot, so I've got to figure out a way to work around it. So I get bothered by goopy stuff, so I've got to come up with a solution for myself to get around.
What do you think?
I don't know.
You have to take a bath in Jell-O. I think that's maybe what it is.
Oh, my gosh.
Submerge him in there.
Yeah, right. I think he just has to embrace it.
So on that same vein, of making excuses for getting out of things, I think, my daughter is blonde. She's naturally blonde, beautiful little girl, but on many, many occasions, she will use the dumb blonde excuse. And I'm not blonde. I don't get it. I don't think it's funny. I don't think being dumb is anything that anyone should aspire to be, but certainly not because of one's color of their hair. So in an email exchange with one of her teachers, he had sent an email to all of the parents about an issue that they were having. This is an English class. So I wrote him back and I said, how is my daughter doing in your class? And this was the response that I got back. She has a C in the class at this moment. Now, this was actually in the fall, and she's since raised her grade. I want to report that right off the bat. But she should be dissatisfied with that because she is one of the more intelligent students in her GATE class. Unfortunately, she sometimes appears to be more interested in playing the role of the dumb blonde. I really get aggravated by that, but it is something she must feel is important. I had no trouble recognizing her intelligence, even when she tried to hide it. Her favorite thing to do seems to be walking around the room and crawling under the desk to get a dropped pencil. I really appreciate your daughter, but sometimes she frustrates me with her constant jabbering. Thank you for your message.
You asked him for...
So at first, I mean, my reaction to that was shock and horror and humor and then shock and horror and humor. I mean, I've been all the way around it, like trying to picture him writing this all into a message in a serious vein, but... I think overall, I'm very frustrated that my daughter finds that an excuse of being a dumb blonde is a reason to get out of anything in school. And so I would be looking for anyone's advice on this. Because
did you tell her and share
with
her?
Yes, I've shared it with her. We've talked about
say?
It. She disagrees with his assessment of the favorite thing she likes to do. But I think she thinks it's cute to be a dumb blonde.
Yeah.
And she gets a little attention for it. And I've noticed on Facebook some interactions with some of the boys that, you know, they will claim that she's a dumb blonde. So, and she revels in it. So
yeah.
I got a problem on my hands here. This is a concern for me. So I need advice on this one, ladies.
Well, I'm no help because my blonde daughter, again, I am not blonde.
You tell her she's a dumb blonde.
Well, no, I don't tell her she's a dumb blonde, but she did come walking into my room the other morning when she got herself dressed for school and she said, "Look, Mom, the buttons are on the inside of my dress now." And I think, "Whose child are you?" Like, really? So yeah,
that's an attention thing too. It's definitely the attention
but
thing.
But she's so smart. It's the common sense thing.
Well, did she really think that, or was she just?
She
saying?
Honestly thought that someone had moved the buttons to the inside of her dress.
No, she did not.
She did. I said, "Andy, it's on inside out," and she goes,
"Oh,
no." She did. I swear.
Wow.
No, she's
okay.
7. I mean, yeah. You know, there's a little time here, but.
Yeah. No, wow.
Come on. And I mean, maybe I just give her more credit for saying, I'm sure Ben says dumb things all the time too, but I don't give him credit for being blonde.
I think Jackie, who has very dark hair, has said on more than one occasion, "That's my blonde girl."
She's blonde.
Yes.
She is just
now,
silly.
Now, why does her hair color matter about that? Like, why would you associate that with her
well,
hair
I don't
color?
Know. I mean, I don't know.
She's
my
heard
mother.
It forever. We've heard it forever, right. You know, the dumb blonde. I mean, it's just something that's been out there
for a long
time.
Is that something that started by brunettes because we're jealous of blondes? Is that how that got started?
Why are we jealous of blondes?
I don't know, because they get more guys. I don't know.
Okay. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Take a look at the face. Face first.
Chris, you want to weigh in on
hair
this?
Hair color can change.
A rhino is pretty forever. To another rhino.
Brains.
Oh, I'm a total package girl. I think, I agree. Your looks are going to fade, number one. So what's inside of you is going to stay there forever.
That's true.
Judge Judy says, beauty fades, but cooking is forever.
But dumb is forever. We did have a little, the blonde and I had a little.
The blonde. See,
now we're referring to her as the blonde.
That's how she refers to her, I'm telling you.
I had a little discussion last night that was really funny because she was reading a book. And she didn't understand why the boy in this book was being really mean to the little girl in this book. And then at the end, she found out that the boy actually liked the girl. And she was very confused. She's like, well, then why would he be mean to her if he really, really liked her? And so we sat down and had the whole, the boys who
do
tease
this.
You are the ones who really
Which
like
made
you.
Her reevaluate
she was
everything.
Completely confused. But it was a really funny conversation.
Well, could you bring it to reality and are there boys that
Absolutely.
Pick on you? Maybe, you know.
Yeah, that hit home right away. But I thought, you know what? You kind of assume your kids know stuff.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
You do.
And the buttons on the inside of the dress. And then
I wonder if she went to school this week and looked at everybody completely differently.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't know.
Oh,
don't know.
You're being mean to me because you like me.
Right.
Really
well, we
funny.
Enlighten them because, you know, we've had more years and we just know from experience. Maybe we didn't know when we were 7, you know. It's something that, you're right, though. I think we assume things. And even conversations that I have with my kids, I'm like, wait a minute. Do they understand what I'm saying? Like, am I on the level? Or am I above the level? Or, you know, I don't
know.
Do they
know way more than what? Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So it's a constant question. But I think, I mean, Kathy, I would say for your daughter, you've got a problem on your hands. But I think that the attention thing is the big factor there.
Because mm-hmm.
her age, boys. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously her teacher's a male. Does she think she'll get attention from him in a good grade?
Well, it's funny because this is absolutely one of her favorite teachers. Maybe we did talk about this before because this is the same teacher the first day of school talked about how he lost 2 fingers in an industrial accident and she came home and reported every detail of that to me. I mean, she was listening with both ears that day. But he's been a good teacher in terms of, you know, she looks forward to getting the work done first class and things like that. So
and she knows she's smart.
Right.
Well, I think she knows she's smart. I mean, I think it's very clear, but I just think that she, if something happens where she maybe doesn't get a perfect grade, it's because she's blonde. You know, that she's always got that backup, you know, that fallback plan.
I see.
Yeah. So
we've got some work to do. All right. Thank you for listening to Because I Said So. We're so happy you joined us and stayed with us for our wonderful stories. Have a great day. You've been listening to Because I Said So, a production of Delmarva Public Radio. For more information, including podcasts of this episode, visit us online at becauseisaidsoradio.com. Thanks to Anita Renfro for allowing us to use her song Momisms as our theme song. And be sure to like us on Facebook. Look for the lady with the red hot lips.
I said so, I said so, I said so, I said so. I'm the mom, the mom, the mom, the mom.